Hi guys, welcome back to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, Chaz Martin wraps up our series, Hear Me Roar. We take a look back at the fiery furnace and the lion's den to see where and how Daniel and his friends were able to trust God. Chaz helps us dig into what trust is, how we know who we can trust, and what it looks like to trust God. We hope you enjoy this message.
All right, can y'all hear me? There it is. Now we're back. Okay. Hey, so I'm normally in first service, so I've met some of you, but not all of you. So if I haven't met, I'm Chaz, and I just graduated from Clemson. So I'm the pastoral intern here for the summer, so I'll be hanging out throughout the summer with y'all. And I have some funny stuff to introduce myself a little bit, just like the other ones. I have a couple pictures where y'all can get to know me a little bit better. So if we can have the first one, that is me in middle school. And I was the kid that looked like he hated everything and everyone. And so I'm actually on my way to a mission trip right there. So that bus is full of kids, and I still look that mad. So that's kind of who I was in middle school. I liked books, and I didn't know how to talk to people. And the next one, and that is me in high school. So there's a big transition, big jump, to where I got a little confident, I got a little weird, and turned into that. So that's actually at a guys volleyball tournament at my high school. And if y'all can see, dude, the tank top, I got some abs going, so I look kind of swole. So it's kind of sick. So that's good. Thank you. Yeah. And the next one. And that is me and some of my college best friends. So Rachel Baylor is up there. So that is our ministry team for the last 3.5 years. And y'all, dude, I used to have some hair. That's a different man right now. But those are some of my best friends. And then the next one,
I still,
not there though. So that was over spring break. A bunch of us, they're like 8 dudes, and we rented like a big van, and we drove out west for a week, and we thought it'd be funny for all of us to shave our heads. I don't know why, but we had 8 dudes with bald heads walking around, and people were like, who the heck are y'all? Get out. And then the last one, that is me and Julia right back there. So that's my girlfriend. And we're going to be moving down to Beaufort in just a couple weeks, basically. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thanks. Come on. Everybody clap for Julia. Everybody clap for her. Thanks. We're glad you made it out tonight. So sweet. But yeah, so as you can see, the kind of weirdness sort of thing didn't really end in high school. That's what I wore to basically like college's prom. I wore a jean vest. And I walked into her house to pick her up, and first thing she did was start crying, and she was mad. I was like, I'm so sorry. But then she thought it was funny, so it's okay, right? But that's a little bit about me, and that's who I am. And so I get to be up here today, and I'm basically going to share like 3 stories with y'all, sort of thing. And y'all have heard 2 of them before, but the first one is about me, and it's pretty funny, I think. So all of high school, actually all my life, I played soccer, right? Soccer was my sport. So like when we were playing 2K out there, I'm trash. I don't know what I'm doing. But in soccer, in high school, so I made varsity my freshman year. And so I'm like a, 12, 13-year-old kid on varsity soccer. All the dudes are like 6 foot. I was still like 5'5", 5'4"-ish. So I was like a little guy. And my coach, new coach, y'all get this, he was a college coach, came down to high school. And so he was still coaching us at college level. And so we would do 6 a.m. workouts every morning for like a month. And then we'd go to school for, what, like 8 hours or whatever. And then we'd have practice in the afternoon again. And y'all, when I'm talking like workouts, I'm talking we're on a college campus running sprints, running hills, doing everything. And I threw up every day for 3 weeks straight. It was so trash. It's terrible. And I did not know why we were doing that because I never had a coach who thought it was funny and would laugh when I would throw up. What is that? What kind of coach is that? And so kind of the issue there was he was my coach, and I was supposed to listen to him. I was supposed to respect him, right? Because he was coaching me. He was teaching me. But I didn't get it. I didn't get why he was doing this. Like, why? There was one time where I was throwing up down the hill, and he was literally laughing at me. I was like, what is this? This is dumb. And so I didn't get it. It didn't make sense to me. And so then basically, what happened was made the team. We did it. We were through conditioning the first month, all that good stuff. And then the season actually picked up. And then things started unraveling, and I started figuring out kind of my role. And so then it started making more sense. But If y'all remember, kind of, this relates a lot to Daniel. If y'all remember in Daniel 3 and 6, kind of what we've been talking about for the past couple weeks, I'm actually going to, where's the microphone? Who wants to give a little recap of what happened to Daniel 3 for us? I saw your hand first. What's your name?
Ashton.
Ashton? Yeah. What happened in Daniel 3?
Daniel, they told him, like...
The fiery furnace.
Oh, the fiery furnace. Oh, yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Dude, also, props him for knowing the names. That's sweet.
Were thrown in the fiery furnace for not bowing down to the idol. And then God protected them. And Nebuchadnezzar decided to, not have them worship the idol.
Nice. Nice. Everybody cheer for him. Everybody give him a clap. That was cool. That was cool of him. Nice. Yeah, that was beautiful. So, did everybody hear that? Everybody heard it? Okay, so there's like the big idol. There's the dream and stuff. And then the three guys, I can't remember their names, so I'm impressed that you did. One more, say it loud. That was close. A little bit. One more time. Nice. What's your name?
Samantha.
Samantha's got it. Okay. Yeah, so those three guys, they were just some like dudes who loved the Lord and were God-fearing men. And they didn't want to worship Nebuchadnezzar's idol, right? That giant like golden statue thing. They didn't want to do that. They weren't about it. They're like, we love our God. And so we're not going to do that. And so the king was like, all right, I'm going to throw you all in the fire. And so he threw those three into the fiery furnace, right? And then that fourth guy appeared and was in the furnace and kept them safe. You know what I'm talking about? You're following? Okay, cool. Half of y'all were. Nice. Yeah. And so, y'all, let's take a step out of that and look at it from the bigger picture. So it did not make sense for them to not worship that statue. Did y'all hear that? It did not make sense for them not to. If you're told by a king, one of the most powerful kings in the world at the time, they were like an empire known for killing people and like torturing, and it was rough. And they were basically told they're going to be killed if they don't just bow down to this statue. So that why were they so loyal? Why did they not want to do that? Like what was there? And that's basically what trust is. And so y'all remember Hannah spoke last week, and she was talking about trust and how when you trust in something, it brings peace, right? Does that make sense? Okay. So when you have that peace, you can trust and you kind of learn how. So who then wants to give a little recap of what happened in Daniel 6? Hayden does? What? Yeah, I saw your hand first. What's your name?
Blake.
Blake. What happened in 6?
Daniel's thrown in the lion's den.
Wait, speaking of
lion. Daniel's thrown in nice. The lion's den, and then like they didn't eat him because God was there with him.
Nice.
And but then he like threw all the other soldiers in there, and the lions ate them.
Yes, sir. Nice. Beautiful. Everybody clap for Blake. Everybody give him a hand. Nice, dude. That's for you. They're cheering you on right now. Nice. Come on. Yeah. Y'all, Daniel got thrown into a lion's den. What? That's crazy. Same thing. He was told, so Daniel was worshiping. He's praying in the window, right? So he's like sitting in a public window in front of like everybody, praying in front of everybody after being told by everybody not to do that. But he did it. He did it anyways. And so then he's like, now I got to go in this lion's den. And so he gets thrown in. And let's see. So there's a verse in chapter 3, if we can pull that up real quick. Yes. So this is back in the fiery furnace one. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And so what this is, what's happening right here, is that they trusted the king, right? They knew that the king was good, or that God was good. And so they basically were like, no, we're not going to give into this. We're going to love our God. We're going to worship him still. And what's cool about this one is that, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. So there's this cool little thought where depending on how you see God, you can see God as somebody who is willing. He's a God that's willing, and he's a God that's able. So he can do whatever he can, basically, right? And even if he doesn't, he's still good. We can still worship him. And so I want to take a step back, and we're going to focus on what trust is really quick, because this is all great. This is all great stuff, but what is trust? So we're going to do a little thing. And it's a technique, a practicing technique, if you will. So everybody stand up. Everybody stand up real quick. Trent, you want to help me out? Okay. So me and Trent are going to show you this. It's like a ancient technique that they would do, basically. They'd do it like back in old kingdoms, and I don't know why they would do it, but it was kind of weird. But y'all might have heard of it. I don't know. But it's called a trust fall. Have y'all ever heard of that? Okay. So here's a trust fall if you want to fall into me. Not like that. So this is it. You can just fall back. That's it, right? Everybody get a partner and do a trust fall. Everybody do a trust fall right now. Find a partner. Everybody do it. I'm counting casualties too. I'm seeing who's falling. Dude, that's good. That's trust. All right, y'all get the point. Y'all get what's happening. So we can go ahead and grab a seat again. Y'all can come on back to your seats now. We're getting it. That's a trust fall. Come on. I'm coming off the stage. Yeah. You ready? Hey, y'all watch this. I trust him. Oh. What's your name?
Evan?
Yeah. Chaz. Hey, I trust Evan. That was tight. Yo, that's trust. That's trust. Okay, yeah. So that's what it is. You catch me? We'll do it after. We'll check it out. All right, so with that in your mind, who wants to tell me what trust is? How can you put it in words? Who's got a quick little definition? What you got?
Trust is something that you can't really control, but you're trusting in it. Like, it's something, something like that.
Yeah, that's good. Everybody, yeah. All right, is anybody else? Anybody else have a little bit? You got something? What's your name?
Lex.
Lex, what you got for us, Lex?
So, just the definition of trust?
Yeah, what's trust?
So, pretty much the definition of trust is you believing in someone that they would do something for you. Like if you said, hold this and make sure no one takes it, you trust that person to keep that for you and make sure nothing happens to it. Like you put your belief into someone that they'd do something for you.
Yeah, dude, that's good. That's good. Yeah, you get it. Thank you. Yo, that's trust. So, yo, that's trust. So trust is something cool where in first service too, somebody threw out the word rely on. I think Lex, you mentioned that too. But where you can like believe in something, you can rely on something. You can do all this and that. I would say that's trust, right? They're about to get thrown in the furnace. And then, all right, word, sick. And then if we can go to the next scripture too, this is from Daniel 6. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, king. O king, I've done no harm. right, wait. All right. So, what's going on here? Daniel knew that he was blameless, right?
Yeah.
So Daniel knew he was blameless, so he knew he'd be all right, right? He had faith. He had trust in God. Does that make sense? Y'all catching that? Y'all see where I'm going? All right. But like I said before, it doesn't make sense for them to trust like this, right? Like, All right. We can applaud after. But it doesn't make sense. Like, on paper, they were all about to die. He was about to get thrown in with some lions, dude. That's crazy. But he was like, I'm blameless. I'm going to be okay. God's got me. The king knew that he had faith. And so the king said, did your God save you? And he was like, yeah, man, he got me. He saved my life. All right. That's enough. So now that we know a little bit about what trust is and how it doesn't make sense for them to trust in this situation, how do we trust? Why do we trust? How do we know who to trust? That sort of thing. Like, there's a lot of questions where, okay, for y'all in middle school, y'all hear me right here. For y'all in middle school, y'all are supposed to trust, like, your parents, your teachers, your coaches, your siblings, your friends, all that stuff. That's a lot of people that you're just supposed to trust. Some of you do, some of you don't. I don't know. That's on you. But you're supposed to. And so, I trust you, JT. I appreciate you. And so, kind of what's going on here is trust is something unseen. It's something good that you have belief in. And you just kind of know. I'll tell you what. Y'all lean to this a different person than you did a trust fall with. Just lean over and tell them somebody that you trust. Okay, so it's probably a lot of similar stuff, like dads, coaches, siblings, friends, that sort of thing. But wait, y'all bring it back in. Y'all hear me out real quick. So there's a bunch of people that you can trust and a bunch of people that you should trust. You trust the chair. That's also something you can trust. That's good. But what about God? Like all these guys, Daniel, somebody hit me with the three names. Somebody hit me. Three names. Yeah, Daniel and them, they all trusted God, like almost effortlessly. I don't know what's going on there, but I don't trust that. But they were all about it. They were into God. They loved God, and they knew God was good. And so that's where it goes to. Our God is willing, and he's able. And even if he doesn't make it go our way, if Daniel got eaten by lions, it would have been okay. Like, God's still good. It doesn't matter. And so that's where, from our perspective, if you're in middle school and your friends are spreading some rumors or sharing some gossip or talking junk about you or making fun of you, that's like emotional and that's right in front of you. That's all you can see. Y'all feel me? You know what I'm saying? Y'all got that? You feel me? Thank you. But that's where it's at. So you can only see a little bit. We have a very limited perspective, right? But that's what, are y'all with me? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay, so we only have a little bit of vision. We don't really know what's going on because God's big. There's in Daniel 2:21, it says he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. Y'all, that means while we're stuck dealing with like gossip and drama and rumors about us, God's off doing big things and like making kings and making things happen while we're just stuck here, basically. And that's crazy, y'all. And so what's cool is that all of this is happening, yes, and God wants us to trust him, and he asks us to trust him, but why? Why should we trust God? Why should we do that? Especially if he's basically sending Daniel into a lion's pit. Why would we trust that? Why would we follow that? And hang on, I'm going to explain it. Because on paper, that doesn't make sense. But what does make sense is that, and y'all hear me, this is the big key. This is the big piece right here. This is the big piece right here. Oh boy, you're not listening right now. Y'all, this is the big piece though, for real. So God proved himself to us. Y'all have all heard the story of Jesus. Jesus descended, Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose, Jesus lives again. That is proof that we can trust God. When we bring Jesus into the picture, that means that Jesus was a man, but Jesus died, but Jesus came back to life. A God who can bring somebody back to life is a God that you want to go into the lion's den with. That's the God that you can trust. And so what that means is that God proved himself to us. Are y'all getting that? Y'all following that? That's making sense? All right. And so, what is that? And so that's what real trust is. But then on the other side too, imagine from Jesus' perspective, Jesus is going to the cross. Jesus knows what he's getting into. He knows he's about to die. And when he's on the cross, when he's up there, about to die, last breath, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's when sin hit Jesus. That's when Jesus is like, whoa, I'm confused. I don't get this. What's happening? But then he's also still God. So he's still fully trusting and fully loyal. And so what that means is that Jesus laid your life. Jesus laid his life for God. So that's what trusting in God looks like. And so obviously for us, it's a little less dramatic than going to save humanity and get crucified. For us, trust looks like just listening to God's plan, basically. Just following what he wants. And so that means like trusting your coaches, your parents, your friends, all that stuff. That means that you're trusting God when you trust people above you, when you trust people who do that for you. Like with my coach, it didn't make sense to me why he was making me throw up for 2 weeks straight. That was stupid. That did not make sense. But 2 years later, my junior year of high school, me and him were actually tight and we were friends. And he told me that from tryouts, he saw potential in me. He saw basically just an immature kid who didn't know how to play soccer, but had a little bit of potential. And so he forced me into that. He made me throw up for 2 weeks and push myself to realize that I can be a good soccer player and that I can lead the team in 2 years. That's God's vision. That's what he's doing. He's making kings and taking kings away because he has an actual strategy. Whereas we're stuck in like, oh, my friend talked junk about me. I don't like him anymore. We're not going to hang out. I'm going to talk junk about him. That's what we see. God sees kings. God sees me, a dumb kid who has potential and can do something. That's what God sees. And Jesus proved that to us. So that's why we can trust God. And so what does actually trusting God look like? What do y'all think trusting God looks like? Throw some stuff out there. Yeah, even though you don't know what's going to happen, you still trust him. You're listening to him. Yeah, that's good. What else? Keep going. Give me a couple more. What does trusting God look like? Obey him. Thanks, Justin. I appreciate you. Yeah. Y'all, trusting God is just like practice. It's just like a sport. If I had a little soccer ball, I'd be juggling it right now because I practiced it. So that's what trusting God is. Trusting God's the little things, little decisions. And so that way, like when you're practicing for a sport and you got a game coming up, that's not the first time you've done that shot or done that play or run that route. You've practiced that a ton. And so that way you're ready for game time. That's what trusting God is. Doing a bunch of little things over and over. Serving your family, cleaning the dishes, taking trash out, making your bed, taking your dog to poop. I don't know. Whatever you got to do, your chores. But it's the little things that build up, and then that gets you ready for the game. So that means whenever God is calling me into something, when God called me into giving this message to y'all, I was nervous. But I'm still going to do it. I'm not going to run away from that because it's cool, because it's God's plan. And so we're doing cool stuff. And so trusting mostly in our little decisions. Secondly, we got to pray for it. We got to ask for trust. We're broken. We're humans. We suck. God's good. God can give us trust. Y'all get that? By prayer, we ask for trust. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God and actually hanging out with him. And so it's good. And then secondly, you got to choose God and himself. Like those little decisions, it's not going to be easy. That's when it's like, oh, I can play one more game of Fortnite, or like I can send a couple more texts or Snapchats instead of taking the trash out. It's like little things like that where you're choosing God over that. And so it's like practical. You got to choose it. You got to make little decisions. And so that's what I want to challenge y'all with is how can you do that? How can you trust God by loving your family or loving your friends or loving your teachers, loving the lunch lady at your school when you get back, or I don't know, your neighbors, I don't know. Whatever it is where you can serve people, that's trusting in God. Little things like that. So I'm gonna leave y'all with that. And we got a couple discussion questions we're gonna throw up. So if y'all want to break into like little smaller groups and y'all can talk about this and hopefully y'all can get some cool answers going.